I'd like to start with sharing a story about Chad and Charlie. This is a story that took place in Wyoming. Forget how many years ago it was now, a number of years ago. But Chad was the owner of a barber shop, and he enjoyed giving people haircuts. He had a lot of customers coming in for haircuts. And one day, something very unexpected happened as he was working in his barber shop. He was right in between some clients. There was no one else in at the shop at the time. And a few people came storming in the door and held Chad at gunpoint and robbed him. This was obviously a very traumatic time for Chad. At the time, he didn't know the outcome. They did not harm him physically, but really harmed him, created some deep wounds in his heart. The people that came in were later arrested, but Chad just really struggled with this event. It left him rather traumatized. Here he was out, just serving people, and to have someone come in like that and threaten him and rob him like that, something really was happening in his heart. Now, Chad was a professing Christian, but he was not doing well spiritually after this time. He continued to wrestle with very evil thoughts towards these people that had robbed him. And it continued to take Chad down a path that he knew he didn't want to go, and God continued to speak into his life. And Chad came to the place where he just let go and let God heal the wounds in his heart. And Chad was able, by God's grace, to extend forgiveness to those people. Several years went by, and Chad was at a church event where he recognized someone there. Let me back up a little bit. At the time of the trial where these people were going to be sentenced, Chad had an opportunity to share his heart. Before this event took place, when he was able to come to the place and to forgive them. And Chad's encouragement was on that day, he said, "Don't let this be a wasted time in your life." He knew they were going to go serve time in prison. And Chad shared his personal testimony, how God had forgiven him so much. And Chad shared with them, the man's name was Charlie. It was actually Charlie and his sister that had robbed him. And he pled with them, don't allow this time to be a wasted time in your life. And he pled with them to surrender their lives to Christ. Now, I got ahead of myself. Several years later, he was at a church event, and he recognized this was Charlie's sister at this church event. And he went and spoke with her afterwards, and they had it was awkward a little bit for her at the beginning, but here, in the meantime, she had become a Christian as well. And this started a relationship, and he wanted to connect with her brother Charlie as well. And later, Chad and Charlie were able to meet as well. And Charlie, too, had become a born-again believer through a series of events. And it was just a joyous reunion. The sister went on. A short time afterwards, she was diagnosed with a terminal illness, and she, not too long afterward, actually passed away. But Chad and Charlie continued their relationship to the extent that Charlie had actually shut down his, or Chad had shut down his barbershop. He wasn't giving haircuts anymore, but he had started another business and he needed another employee. The level of forgiveness extended to the point where Chad actually later hired Charlie as an employee. The man that held him at gunpoint and robbed him later was one of his employees. That's just a beautiful picture of forgiveness. Again, God's love flowing through Chad, able to extend forgiveness to Charlie, and then later them working with each other. A beautiful picture of forgiveness. This morning, I want to look at the topic of forgiveness, and I want to think about a forgiving vessel. Forgiveness, I believe, is something we all appreciate receiving from others, right? There's many times where we need forgiveness. First off, we need God's forgiveness, but we also want others to forgive us when we do wrong. And most times, I believe, it's harder to give forgiveness. Sometimes it's hard to receive forgiveness, but many times it's harder to extend forgiveness. And really, a lot of that comes down to the level of pain that we feel from the one that maybe did us harm or did something wrong. But thinking again about our theme verse, let's again say this verse together. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. I want us to have this verse going through our mind, not only this weekend, but as we go throughout the next week or however long it stays in our mind. Really, we want to live with this motto, but have this verse in our mind that God is the potter, and he continues to work with pliable hearts, soft clay, that he can mold more and more into his image. And Mike, I did not get a bulletin. I did not realize that quote was in there, but that's a beautiful quote. And thank you very much for what you shared this morning, your devotional as well, and for the beautiful songs that tied into it. I was blessed by that. As we think about forgiveness, you probably have talked to people that, or maybe you know people that you know, they are not forgiving. And what's really sad is when there's professing Christians that are harboring bitterness in their hearts and they're not willing to forgive. I talked with a man some time ago, a believer, and in the course of our conversation, he talked about the neighbor at the end of his driveway is a very close family member, but they're not on speaking terms. They don't talk to each other. And I did not ask questions. I didn't feel like it was the right time to do that. But I don't know what all took place there, but that is so sad when you have someone that's a Christian, and yet where there's a wall there and there's no communication happening. That is not what God wants from us. So thinking about the title, A Forgiving Vessel, I'd like to look at a few points this morning. First one is Jesus' teachings on forgiveness. Again, this is a topic that we're not going to exhaust this morning. It's kind of another broad stroke topic. It's talked about a lot throughout the Bible. Second point is the importance of forgiveness. Thirdly, the blessings of forgiveness. And then fourthly, I'd like to look at a few clarifications on forgiveness. So moving to the first point, Jesus' teachings on forgiveness. So Jesus spoke quite a bit about forgiveness. So I'm just going to, instead of turning through different passages this morning, I would like to read some verses from Matthew 18 here soon. You can turn there if you would like. But before we go there, just going to put up a few verses on the wall. What Jesus said, I don't know how well you can see them in the back there, but these verses are from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' prayer specifically, how he taught his disciples to pray. Jesus said, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And then Jesus went on after the prayer to share a little bit more about forgiveness. He said in Matthew 6 here, he said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I realize these verses are very familiar to probably all of us. We might even know them by heart. But as we think about this, so Jesus said, so when we say the Lord's Prayer, I don't know how often you say that, maybe it's a family or at church, whatever that looks like, Jesus said, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And then he said, following that, if we don't forgive those who wrong us, our trespasses, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. So a question I have, the way I understand this, I realize that font might be a little small, but so if God forgives you to the extent you forgive others, how forgiven are you? And this is a real challenge in my own life. That's the way I understand these verses. If I'm not willing to extend forgiveness to others, to those who have wronged me, neither will my Heavenly Father continue forgiving me. That's the way I understand it. It's a sobering question to think about. So if God forgives me, if God forgives you to the extent that you forgive others, how forgiven are you? So, I want us to be vessels that extend forgiveness to others so that we are forgiven by our Heavenly Father. Again, thinking about God the Potter, continuing to work in our lives. Forgiveness is at times is very, very difficult. I have never went through levels of forgiveness than what some people have, and I'm sure some of you sitting here, than what you have faced. Just this week, I talked with a man that it was a powerful, powerful story on forgiveness, or he was sharing with me. This was a very, very, or yeah, just happened this last week. There was a court case, but there was a man who he was a school teacher. I believe it was in a public school setting, and he had accusations against him for sexual misconduct. And he had quite a few charges that they came up with that they were looking to charge him with. Excuse me. This was a case that was going on for a number of years. And this man, from the time, I think the way I understood this, started to where it finally finished this past week with multiple years, and since gotten married, had several young children. His wife is expecting their third child. And the accusations were not true. But they built up this huge, all these lies against him and were trying to, what I understand is what they were trying to do is basically sue and get a lot of money out of the ordeal. It was a late night court setting. It got drugged pretty late, and it was very uncertain how it was going to pan out, whether he'd be facing jail time. It finally ruled out that they proved him innocent. But this man and his wife dealt with a lot of things going on leading up to this. They didn't know the outcome. I think from what I've heard, they spent thousands. I think it was over $100,000 on all this whole case. All over someone's lies. But the beautiful, beautiful story, another beautiful picture of forgiveness or story of forgiveness. That man, I didn't hear this story directly, but from a family member of what took place here, he shared how the man that was being accused was able, he was able to tell the people, I think it was even that night yet, that he forgives them. He's going to let it all, or he has already, he's extended forgiveness. And that is a beautiful, beautiful picture of how God forgives us. So Matthew 18, you can turn there if you're not already there. Like to look at several verses. So the beginning of this chapter, Jesus gives instructions. Well, middle of this chapter, he talks about if someone trespasses against us, how we should handle that. First, we're to go to them directly if someone has sinned against us. If we can't resolve it, then we go with one or two others. And then if it's still not resolved, you go to the church and to all and trying to seek. Reconciliation. And then in verse 21, Peter comes to Jesus after Jesus is telling that or talking about how to deal with a trespassing brother. Peter comes to him and says, "Lord, how often should I forgive my brother if he sins against me? Should I forgive him seven times?" Well, and Peter most likely thought that seven times is maybe over the top. That's being really generous, because my understanding is the rabbis at that time were teaching that they should offer forgiveness up to three times. And I'm guessing Peter thought, this is very merciful if I extend forgiveness seven times. And we know Jesus' response. Not seven times, but 70 times seven. 490 times. In other words, just continue on forgiving. Don't keep track. And then Matthew 18, where I would like to start reading, I'll read through this and just make several comments. The parable of the unforgiving servant. Verse 23 in Matthew 18, starting there in verse 23, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." This is where it starts turning. It's a sad thing that's about to happen. Verse 28, "But that same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord what all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." So here we see that same picture happening, where if we're not willing to extend forgiveness to others, God's not going to continue to pour out or extend forgiveness to us. A very, very serious thing. So I'm not going to spend much time in this passage, but I did a little bit of studying on what this amount may have looked like. I don't know how many of you have studied into this, but I found some conflicting numbers. But really, the point is that the debt that this servant owed was a debt that, you know, he did say, you know, have mercy and I'll pay thee back. From my understanding, there was no way in his lifetime that he was going to be able to earn enough of money to pay the debt that he owed. So it was an unpayable debt. And yet when he turned around and saw his other brother, that man still owes me money. And he grabs him by the throat, or takes him and has him cast into prison. And this person's begging for mercy, but he doesn't have mercy. And then it goes back to his Lord, and he's very upset with him. And he then makes him accountable for all the debt that he had initially forgiven him of. And I wonder, sometimes when we deal with a heart or deal with a really difficult thing, we're struggling to forgive someone, maybe we need to stop, be still, and come before God and recognize the unpayable debt, the debt that we owe God, our sin debt. You know, we looked at that image that was marred because of sin. There was no way that we could become that beautiful vessel again. Sin stood in the way. But Jesus, in his love, he hung on the cross and paid our debt. He forgave me the billions of dollars that I would never, ever be able to pay. And Jesus took that upon himself so that you and I could experience the Father's forgiveness, so we could be brought back into relationship with him. And I think so many times we need to come before God and recognize what God has forgiven us when we're dealing with something very hard. I'm not trying to minimize the hard things that we're called to forgive. Those things are very real at times, and I'd like to look at that a little bit here soon. So, moving to the second point, the importance of forgiveness. I've somewhat said this already, but I don't think we can experience, if we choose to harbor bitterness for an extended time and just continue to choose not to forgive, we can't expect God's forgiveness to continue to flow into our lives. And I think sometimes when I struggle to forgive, maybe I get this parable in Matthew 18 mixed up. Maybe I view the offense done against me as this, you know, this is an unpayable debt. Like, how can I forgive them? Like, how could this school teacher forgive this man for all these lies? And the part that I forgot to mention, the man that created all these lies, I thought, you know, I asked him, you know, what happens to him now that he created all this and it's all false? What happens to him? And he said he's getting off scot-free. And I'm not sharing the whole story what went on there. There was actually there was a lot of things that had been done, but they put it all on the school teacher when he was innocent. And the man that was accusing him was the one that was actually guilty. And someone that was at the court setting said that is the closest they ever felt to experiencing what it maybe Jesus felt on the cross. So it was so unjust what was happening. But this man that was all being held against was able to extend forgiveness. I believe he had an accurate view of what God forgave him. And he's seen these accusations, even if it was $100,000, he was able to see it as a debt that he was able to just release and let go. That is very, very powerful. And forgiveness is so, so important. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in order to experience forgiveness from the Father, we need to confess our sins, and he will cleanse us from some unrighteousness? No, all unrighteousness. He will cleanse us from all the wrongdoings that we have done. If we are sorry for our sins, he will cleanse us. Colossians 1:3, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. God is a merciful God. He delivered us from the chains of bondage, the power of darkness, and he translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, whom we have redemption through his blood. And another verse from Colossians, and again, these are Paul's words here in Colossians, both these. Paul, we looked at the one who was running from God, persecuting the church. God struck him down, and he was this chosen vessel. And now Paul says this, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. It was not only Jesus telling us that we were to extend forgiveness, but Paul also was encouraging us to, you know, as God forgives us, extend forgiveness towards others. Paul had a lot of people that he would have had to choose to forgive as well that mistreated him. So moving to the blessings of forgiveness. I put a few down here. Again, you could come up with some of your own. This is not an exhaustive list by any means. But there are blessings or benefits, whatever you want to call them, that come when we extend forgiveness. So the first one that I already talked about, it enables us to receive God's forgiveness, or we could say it enables us to continue receiving God's forgiveness as we extend forgiveness to others. Forgiveness frees us from bitterness. You might know a people who are very bitter in their life. Very likely a bitter person is holding is not forgiving. Unforgiveness leads to bitterness. There's a quote here, I'm not sure who said it, but they said, forgiveness is to bitterness what water is to fire. So forgiveness cancels out bitterness or prevents us from becoming bitter. Water quenches fire, right? If there's an unwanted fire, there's enough of water, it gets doused on the fire is going to go out. Forgiveness drives away bitterness. Another quote, don't know who said this, but bitterness is like drinking poison with the hope that it harms our enemy. You know, there's many people, I believe, that think they're getting back to the one who offended them if they just don't let it go. That person did me wrong, and I'm not going to forgive them. It's to hear someone say, I will never forgive them, are some of the saddest words someone could say. I really believe that. And I've heard people say that. I will never forgive them for what they have done. And there was one man that I talked to, and I just, you say that, but I tried to share with him, if we want to receive God's forgiveness, we're going to have to come to the place where we're willing to forgive those who wronged us. I know those quotes aren't necessarily blessings of forgiveness, but thinking about being free from bitterness, they tied in well. Hebrews says, follow peace, or the writer of Hebrews said, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. So we need to be very careful that the root of bitterness doesn't spring up in us. Bitterness will eventually defile a person. And then thinking about the blessings of forgiveness, it gives us peace and is a powerful witness. Not sure what happened there. I wanted it as a powerful witness to be on the next one. I wanted them to be two different ones, but didn't quite finish going over these. It gives us peace. We're not going to experience true peace. You know, I talked about last night, surrender also brings peace in our lives. Forgiveness also does that. It gives us peace rather than bitter resentment. And it is a powerful witness. That story that I just shared about that school teacher, I don't believe that story is finished yet, because that story is something very, very recent. And when that man could extend forgiveness to those that created all these lies, that story is not over yet. Because that man's going to have to deal with this. He's living with all the lies that he shared. And to receive forgiveness from this man after he was proven that he was innocent, the man that he was accusing is innocent, I believe God's working in that man's life. And it is a powerful witness to a watching world. Just as love is, that we looked at just briefly, when we love with the type of love, the unconditional love that God loves us, it's a powerful witness. And forgiveness is the same thing. In order to forgive, we need to be giving, or we need to have love, Christ's love within us. The two are tied together, I believe. And I also have down, it improves both mental and physical health. Someone that lives a bitter life and withholds forgiveness, it actually affects their health. Long term, it will. And there's been studies done. I don't have statistics to show you, but there have been studies done that it affects people's mental and physical health if they withhold forgiveness. So if you want one way to help with mental and physical health is, you know, do we have any bitterness in our hearts? We can check our hearts. Another quick story, I love these powerful stories where there's forgiveness extended. I know there's a lot of stories out there too where there's a lot of just bitterness and unforgiveness, but I like the ones that leave a powerful witness. There was a story that I came across as I was preparing for this message, a story of Ike Brown. He was a police officer, and he had a son. I believe he was 21 years old at the time, and early one morning there was a knock on his door. Like, I'm thinking like 4:30 in the morning. And he goes to the door and there's another police officer there. And he's wondering what's going on. And the police officer tells him that his 21-year-old son was shot and killed. Very, very, very hard time. Going through a lot of grief. And this man, this police officer, obviously dealt with so much. Like, why would someone do that to his son? I don't know exactly what all went down, what happened, but Ike was also a professing Christian, and God was working in his heart, and Ike knew that he needed to come to the place where he could extend forgiveness to the one who took his son's life. And the day came where he finally met him, I believe in a court setting. And God, it was a miracle, the grace of God in his life. He just shared with this man that he doesn't hate him, and he loves him, and he cares for him. And that deeply impacted this man. Takoya, I believe, if I'm pronouncing his name right. He had to live with this. You know, he took someone's life, now he's in prison. And later, God continued to speak to Ike, and he would start writing letters. He wanted to send one to Ike this man that took his son's life. He wanted to send a letter to him in prison. And there were times where he started writing and he just couldn't finish. Finally, one day, he worked up enough of courage and just wrote a beautiful letter to this man, sharing of God's love and telling him, he went as far as to say how he shared how he misses his son, and he asked this man, the shooter, if he would be willing. He misses his son, and he wondered if he could be a son to him so he could have a relationship with him. Well, this deeply impacted this man's life. What Ike didn't realize at that time, God was working in his heart. And this man in prison was going through a time where, even though God was working in his life, he wanted God to somehow send him a sign that would actually show that God is real and that God does love him. And he gets this letter and just breaks down in prison in that day. Here was a letter from the man of the man he killed, the father of the boy that he had killed. And that day, this man broke down in prison, repented of his sins, and surrendered his life to Christ. Forgiveness is a powerful, powerful witness. And I realize I'm sharing the good stories. They don't all end that beautifully, but through forgiveness, it enables God to continue working in a beautiful way. So quickly here, clarifications on forgiveness. Forgiveness does not condone or excuse one's actions, but you refuse to use their actions as a weapon against them. I've heard someone say, in talking to them, well, I'll forgive them, but it sounded like very much of a strings attached. Like, I'm forgiving them, but they better not do it again. No. So forgiveness, it doesn't say what they did was okay or what was right. But forgiveness says, you know, recognize it was wrong, but they're not going to use those actions against them. True forgiveness, I believe, in a sense, we open our hands and we place it in God's hands. We let God have his way, and God will judge one day. And also, forgiveness opens the door for reconciliation, but does not guarantee it. So maybe thinking about if there's two brothers that are at odds with each other, and one brother wants to do everything he can to have a restored relationship. So he can go to that brother, and if he offended this brother, he can apologize, and he can, maybe it's a misunderstanding, maybe they both feel like they need an apology. You know, the one can apologize, the one can extend forgiveness, but it takes two to have complete reconciliation. So if you forgive someone, it doesn't guarantee reconciliation, but it does open the door for it. And forgiveness is often a process. So we looked at the verses where if we don't forgive others, God's not going to forgive us. I don't know exactly how this all looks, how it's all fleshed out. And if you have a clear picture in your mind, we can talk about it afterwards. I believe the deeper the wound, the deeper the pain, often the more of a process it is. And now sometimes God can do miracles and, you know, overnight or miraculously God can just enable someone to just completely forgive. But sometimes forgiveness is a long process that we wrestle with. I think it's okay for it to be a bit of a process at times, but I think there's also danger in just staying there too long, because unforgiveness can lead to bitterness. But I believe that it is a process. And I believe also, sometimes we can forgive someone. We can feel like, you know, it's in the past and we let go. And maybe the same person, maybe months later, a year later, does the same thing against us again. And all of a sudden, this is stirred up in our lives again. And I think sometimes forgiveness is just ongoing, where we're going to have the decision whether we forgive again or where we start harboring bitterness. And I think maybe at times we have to forgive for the same thing multiple times as we continue to wrestle with it. Forgiveness does not mean you will forget. I believe there are some things that, especially the minor things, I believe there are some things that we might totally forget sometimes. Maybe someone came to you and asked for forgiveness of something they did to you, and you're like, I don't remember it. Maybe you forgot it wasn't a big deal. I believe sometimes we do forget, but I believe sometimes maybe the wound is deep enough that maybe we'll never forget it. And I think that's okay, that it's not, I don't think we should be, you know, trying to remember it and trying to hold on to it, but I don't think it guarantees that we will forget. And a quote from Fred Rogers, he says, "Forgiveness is a strange thing. It can sometimes be easier to forgive our enemies than our friends. It can be hardest of all to forgive people we love." I think that quote is very, very true. I don't know how you find it in your own life, but again, I talked about showing love, and sometimes the people that we work closest with, we know the best. We know their shortcomings. The ones we relate with a lot, we're going to have misunderstandings sometimes, miscommunications, and sometimes it can be hard to always show love, and I believe the same thing happens with forgiveness. It can be hard to forgive those who we work with the closest at times. So, conclusion. I want us to be vessels that extend forgiveness to others so we are forgiven by our Heavenly Father. I did not read many or nearly all of Matthew 18, but in the beginning of chapter 18, you can read it, and I'm sure it's familiar verses to most of you. Jesus said in verse 3, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven." And he talks about not the importance of not offending young children or not offending children. I think children, young children, sometimes we need to learn from them in forgiveness. As parents, we probably all have seen it where there's, whether it's siblings or friends of young children squabbling, fighting, maybe fighting over the same toy. They seem like they're the worst enemies for a few minutes. And sometimes, but a few minutes later, they look like this, walking hand in hand, best friends again. And I realize as adults, there's more that we process than what children do, but I think we can learn from them at times. So we looked at Jesus' teachings on forgiveness and what Jesus said. In order to receive forgiveness, we need to also extend forgiveness. So we looked at the importance of forgiveness. It is vital to our walk with God. The blessings of forgiveness. There are many blessings that come with it. Very difficult sometimes, but there are blessings that come with it. And then some clarifications on forgiveness. And then the question I want to leave you with, will you choose to forgive? I realize each of our journeys are unique. And again, I preach this message carefully because there are some things that some of the stories I've heard, well, Corrie ten Boom is one of them, and even many more modern stories or recent stories that levels of forgiveness that I cannot relate to. But God's word doesn't change on the fact that we're still called to forgive. Very difficult, very real at times. But by God's grace, as we continue to allow him to be our potter and us the clay, God will enable us, I believe, to extend forgiveness regardless of the amount of pain or how deep the wound is. My challenge is to myself and to you, will you choose to forgive? You can all stand for a closing prayer. After the prayer, I'll turn it over to Mike. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and the forgiveness that you freely give to all who call upon you. I pray that each one of us would see our sin as it really is, and how it was our sin was a debt that we could never, ever pay. And you, in your abundant love, you chose to forgive. You forgave us for our sins. Before we were even born, you died for the whole world by the shedding of your blood, and you died personally for each one of us so that we could experience forgiveness. And I pray that each one of us would be channels of forgiveness as well, that we could extend forgiveness to those who have wronged us. I pray if you've spoken to anyone this morning on a specific area, I pray that you will continue to work in their lives to be able to come to the place of extending complete forgiveness so that your forgiveness can continue to flow into their lives. Give us the grace that we need. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.